Okay, good morning. As Mark said, my name is Hannah. So if you're new here today or if you don't recognise me, I'm not normally here. I'm visiting in. I usually hang out in Bulbrook, if you know the area, and we meet in Holly Springs Schools. You didn't leave them here. I could have used my back to church and I could have invited you all. You could have all come to Bulbrook next week. But hey-ho. So before I kick off, I do have a short clip, but before I do that, can I just say, if you are in here and you have little ones, I'm a parent myself, I am not easily distracted. So if they're quietly chatting in the background, or even if they just have one of those little moments where, you know, they get a bit fed up and they want to go, just be at peace, do you know what I mean? Just rest, I know what it's like. So, okay, so what are, this is the other thing. I'll tell you what, can we kick off with the clip first and then we'll pick it up afterwards? I think I might have just shown a bit of my age. If you recognise the film, it's that 1980s classic, The Neverending Story. I grew up absolutely in love with the Luck Dragon. I don't know whether or not this is your first time in church. You come every week. I don't know whether you've ever picked up a Bible before. You might have spent the last 40 years reading it, cherishing it. You might sit there and think, actually, I think the Bible is irrelevant. I think it's boring. I remember being tortured as a child by Bible stories of Noah's Ark. I don't know where you are as you come in here this morning, but can I ask you for the next, I promise I won't speak for longer than 15 minutes. Just put aside any preconceived ideas of the Bible. So if you've come with that mindset, just lay it down just for 15 minutes and just be open. Just be open to just maybe you might leave here this morning thinking just a tiny little bit different. So why that clip? So if you know the story, it's about this little boy, and he actually, while the phone rings, he goes and he takes this book, and he hides out in his school, and he's kind of like transported into this fantasy world called Fantasia. And he reads the story, and it's one of those typical books, you know, the ones that grip you. It's full of tragedy. That didn't even come out right. Full of tragedies, full of the fight for good and evil. It's full of like fantasy crazy characters. It's just fast paced, and he's lost in this book. But what the old man says is, he says the book isn't safe, and that's what I suppose is my challenge today. Is, I don't know, it's that he was, you know, he's explaining to the boy, it's not just any normal book. And I want to say to you today, I truly believe that this book, well, not this particular one, but the Bible, isn't just any normal book. And actually, I would agree, it's not necessarily safe. When I started reading this book, it drastically changed my life. It's challenged me. It's inspired me. It's not necessary. It's not a safe, comfortable read. It is full of war. It's full of tragedy. It's full of heartbreak. It's full of excitement. It's full of other stuff that I still struggle to understand. It's gripping. Bible. Let me give you some facts. Did you know that the Bible is banned in 52 countries? Now, I don't know about you, that makes me think straight away. 52 countries consider the Bible threatening enough that it would ban it. And if you're found with a Bible in these countries, you run the risk of being imprisoned, fined, heavily fined, or in some countries even put to death because of this book. So what is it about this book that 52 countries want to ban it? That, for me, makes me think, I might want to give that a read. It's estimated that 44 million copies are sold each year. More than 4 billion have been distributed worldwide. And to give you a comparison, because if you're not number, I'm not a numbery person, it's like 4 billion to me, I'm like, what does that look like? So to give you an example, I think the last time I looked at some statistics, I think Harry Potter worldwide sales were somewhere around about 67 million. Lord of the Rings, if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, that has sold 150 million worldwide. The Bible, 4 billion. It's quite popular. In fact, they say it is the most popular book. So what is it about it? Can it really be that boring, that irrelevant, if 52 countries have banned it, and it is 4 billion people have chosen to pick it up? It's been translated into 2,400 languages. To me, that just blows my mind. I didn't realize we had that many. Until you carry on, because apparently, as I speak, it's already been translated into 1,500 more. I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? Like, do we have that many languages? But it's not just one book. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, if I was good at Greek, which I'm still learning, is it Biblia? Come on, Mark, is it Biblia? He's putting a funny face at me. You're better at it than I am. Anyway, so basically what that word, where we get the word Bible from, what does it mean? It means like a library of books. So if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever picked it up, and sometimes you're like, you know, you get these little bits at the top, and it's like Joel, Isaiah, and you're like, what? Psalms, which starts with a P, and Job, and, you know, you've got John, and you've got Acts, and you're like, what is it? And what they are, these are all like names of books. So the Bible is made up of lots and lots of different books. And it's kind of like a mini library in one set of cover. They reckon it was kind of written over a period of about 1,500 years by about 40 authors. And these 40 authors came from every aspect of life. You've got some fishermen in there. You've got some tax collectors in there. You've got some crazy people in there, but in a good crazy kind of way. You know, you've got your bog standard, but you've also got doctors in there. You've got scholars. It was written by a vast array of different authors from different ways of life. And then that little bit, I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I don't know if you're a Christian or you've been hanging around with Christians, they'll often say, you know, God wrote the Bible. You know, it's all God's word. And I don't know about you, have you ever asked, well, how does that work? You know, so if it's 100% written by God, but surely I've just told you it's been written by 40 authors that happen to be man. So what does that look like? Christopher Wren, great architect. He's famous for building St. Paul's Cathedral. And I'm hoping that nobody in the room would dispute that. Nobody here wants to dispute that. Christopher Wren, he built St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Okay? He was the chief architect. He designed it. He poured his life over the building of this beautiful cathedral. Yet he never placed or laid a single stone. He never picked up one tool. So actually, he didn't build St. Paul's Cathedral. Yet in this room, we would all consider that he did. It's the same with the Bible. God is the architect, so to speak, of the book. But he used men, craftsmen, and fishermen to put pen to paper, whatever it is they had in those days. But what is the point of reading the Bible? So again, you know, growing up with like Noah's Ark, and you're just like, Noah's Ark, that's not a nice story, okay? I love animals. So the idea of Noah's Ark, for me as a child, was traumatic, okay? And then that whole, I'm quite attached to my emotions. So the idea of, what, you're telling me, Mum, that he just saved one family, everybody else died. To me, my traumatic part of my imagination is thinking, did they not hear the screams of these people? What about the bunny rabbits? Didn't God care about the bunny rabbits? Do you know what I mean? So to me, growing up with these stories, I just didn't understand. I'm like, what does that mean? That's why we've got rainbows. Oh, that's nice. That's pretty. Rainbows. Does it mean anything to me? And one of the things is sometimes, you know, especially when we're children, it's about stories, but it's so much more. And I want to kind of chuck out something. And to you, it might just mess with your head a little bit. Because just like in the never-ending story, The book had power. The book transported this young boy into this other world. And towards the end of it, he literally brings Fantasia to Earth. In fact, specifically the luck dragon. I want to say it's the same with the Bible. Why is it banned in 52 countries? Because it's not just any normal book. But the point of reading the book isn't so that we can have these lovely stories. It's so that we would embark on or get to know the God that was the architect. It's all about, the whole point of reading the Bible is about a relationship with God. This whole book is all about God. It's about his character. It's about how he thinks, how he moves. It's about his plans and it's his purposes. It's about God and it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And it's literally, you know, I don't know about you, I've only been reading the Bible probably, like, properly, if I say that, for about 10 years. But I feel like a baby. There's so much in it that I don't understand. There's so much in it. And it's like you can read the same story 100 times and new things come out. Because it's alive. It's like, I don't know, it's so hard to put into words. Because you're seeing God. It's like a relationship. You know, if I could write a book about my husband, it would be forever changing. It would be forever changing because he's forever changing. As we do life together, our relationship changes. The way that our circumstances are changing. It's kind of like there's new things that we learn about each other. You know, we're kind of 14 years. We're 14 years in, and it's kind of like, you know, I know him on a deeper level. You know, and it's the same with the Bible. It's that you're in a relationship. And when we first got together, I didn't really know things. And there's an awful lot of things, you know, that kind of irritated each other, irritated the pants out of each other. And it's kind of like that you're getting to know each other and you're hashing it out. And it's the same with the Bible. You know, sometimes you'll pick it up and you're like, that doesn't make sense. And if you're anything like me, and I think it's okay to get frustrated with it. I don't understand it. Actually, that's too challenging. I don't know if I like what you're saying. But it's a journey, and it's about this, you go on this, like, this relationship of going and getting to know more about God. And I tell you, just like I fall more and more in love with my husband every day, I fall more and more in love with God every day. Because it's a love relationship. That wasn't even in my notes. I'm going to read one scripture to you. I did promise you 15 minutes tonight. When I get passionate about something, I have a tendency to just go off on random tangents, but I promise not to. This is hilarious, okay? So I get ribbed right. This is my proper Bible. This is what, okay, which is absolutely, it's falling apart. And I take it to my staff meeting most weeks, and my lovely colleagues rib me rotten for it, and they've been telling me that I need to get a new Bible, and I should get a nice clean one. It isn't falling apart. But you know what? Just like I did then, I can't find anything. I did buy one, but I can't use it because I can't find anything. So, that was just a bit of a, see, that's my rambling. Anyway, I am going to read to you a little bit of scripture, which is found in a book called Ephesians. Now, Ephesians sounds a bit of a strange word. It's actually a place. It's a place called Ephesus, and the Ephesians were the people from Ephesus, and it was written by a guy called Paul. And he was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And he's kind of, in his letters, he'll often just kind of randomly go off in prayer in his letters. And at this point, this is what I'm going to read. He prays this prayer over the church. It's over those that are going to be reading it. And he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And that, for me, is what it's all about. And there's this little tiny part in the never-ending story, and if you've seen it, you'll know it well, that he, 3/4 of the way through the film, it's all about this Fantasia and this little boy being lost and wondering. You know, like if you're reading a good book, you get lost in it. And then right at the end, Fantasia is about to be wiped off and no longer exist. And there's this key part that it all rests on this little boy. And they're like, all he needs to do is believe. All he needs to do is just believe. If he would just believe, Fantasia is saved. Fantasia will be restored. He just has to believe. And you, it's kind of like, well, like, you know, especially when I was about 8 years old when I was doing it, you're like, oh, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And he chooses to believe. And he's like, what? Am I the boy? Am I the boy? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? And they're like, you just have to believe. And he's like, what does that look like? Do I have to? And he kind of gets up and he throws open the window and it's all like really dramatic in the 1980s. And he screams and he starts screaming out, I believe. And then it just changes everything and Fantasia is restored. But suddenly he is transported into Fantasia, but Fantasia comes down to earth. And there's like this, there's no longer this barrier between the two. And it's just beautiful. And he gets to ride on the luck dragon and it's really cool. He doesn't go and punch the bullies. He actually goes and scares the pants out of them with the luck dragon through New York City. I mean, if you've never seen Never Ending Story, go and watch it. It's really good. What's the point? But the point is, that's what Paul is saying. This book isn't just words on a page. It's not the same as reading, The Hunger Games. It's not the same as reading Divergent. This book is special. This book has the power, if you choose to believe in the one who wrote it, it has the power to change your life. It has the power to bring heaven to earth. And I stand here, you might stand there thinking, that woman is off her rocker, but do you know what? I don't care. I'm 35 years old and I'll put my hand up. I believe that this book is powerful. It's changed my life. Still don't understand it all, but I won't be without it. Let's fly through these. I've remembered. So somebody has amazingly, so practically, where do you start in the Bible? You know, and if you are curious, please go. Pick one up. If you're in a hotel room, you can even get them for free. If you don't want to buy one, don't go to the library. You can even get them at the library, you know. They're pretty much everywhere. Pick up a Bible. Start reading it. It's split in half. Let me just, if you've never picked it up before, this is quite important because otherwise, if you're like me, you just get confused. It's what's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. To give you a little bit, the Old Testament, which is the first however many books, it'll tell you in the front. Can't remember. I'm looking at 39 books. So the first 39 books of the Bible is the Old Testament, which was all before Jesus. So if you love a good history book, if you like war, I suggest you read a little bit of that. It's just full of the history of this, of the Israelites, the community of God's people, and how creation, that's where you find the creation story. If you're a bit curious about Adam and Eve, you'll find it there. And then you have what's called the New Testament, which is after Jesus. So we all celebrate Easter here. We certainly will celebrate Christmas. I do. So if you celebrate Christmas and Easter, you'll be familiar with Jesus. He comes in the last 27 books. Well done. Great place to start would be, if you remember this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's really cool names. They were basically Jesus's best mates, really. They hung out with him, they drank with him, they ate with him, they kind of did the little journeys together. They pretty much knew what Jesus was like. They saw, and they penned stories of what it was like to live with Jesus for the 3 years that he was, 30 or 3 years that they were with him. Start there. But start somewhere. Pick it up. Pick it up. Give it a go. And don't be tempted to always sometimes you're just kind of tempted to open it. And if you've been reading your Bible a little while, can I encourage you not to do that? Okay, so I'm talking to you now if you've been reading your Bible a little while, but you tend to just go, don't know where to go. Because sometimes we can get lost and out of context. Can I encourage you to take a whole book and read from the beginning to the end? Can I encourage you now, if you've never picked up a study Bible, to pick one up? Get the background, get the context, ask the questions. Who was this book originally written to? What is this book about? And also genre is important. Some of the books in the Bible are songs and poems. I mean, if you pick it up thinking it's going to be a historical document, you're going to get confused. Begin, if you want to explore the Bible, if you want to get deeper, get a decent study Bible. Use online. I mean, thank the Lord that we've got online stuff now. I won't be without Google. there are some amazing online stuff. And as I was saying, at the back of the room, who did this? Dave Kappelman. The amazing Dave Kappelman has written out loads of different things that we can take away. It's different websites that can help us to learn more and to study more. What else has it got on here? It's got all sorts. Apps. I've got some really good apps. If you want to come on, if you've got an iPhone, I've got some great apps. Take one away with you. There's loads of different ways that we can read the Bible, but I feel like I need to honor my 15 minutes. And I'm going to stop. I challenge you. You could leave here and just go home and pretend that you didn't have to sit through the church service for 2 hours. But I challenge you. Go and find, if you've, you know, and it might be that you only read it this morning, but go back home. Pick it up. Pick it up at any point and just begin to read. But while you're doing it, there's this great guy, and I'm going to end on this, I promise. And he said, the Bible is meant to be prayed through, not read through. You can spend your whole life reading scripture, but if you don't expect the living God to speak to you through it, it just becomes law. What's he saying? Pick up the book and just say, Jesus, speak to me. And then go and tell someone the awesome things. Go and tell someone. Come and tell me what he says back. What does he want to say to you through this book today?